Gary Nall. One of the important responsibilities of doing a broadcast as we do is trying to find people who are outliers, people who are not a part of the establishment, not sharing the common narrative, not engaged in any kind of disinformation campaign, or not showing obvious biases in which side they're coming on an issue. I'll give you an example. We do not share any political advice on this program. We don't bar people because of their politics, their sexual orientation, their religious beliefs. They're nothing. We just look for the truth. Wherever it is at, whoever has it, we'll share it. If we find that it is indeed something that benefits and empowers people, and truth always empowers us. But I can't tell you how many times today, individuals who were never controversial, never had a thing said against them, to the contrary, these individuals are the pillars of the scientific and medical community. A, they're all pro-vaccine. B, they're all pro-medicine. None of them are into alternative health at all. C, they all have either supported Anthony Fauci and the FDA and the CDC and government-mandated policies historically. And yet today, they're the very ones who are being attacked and vilified. They're canceled on all social media platforms. And what is said about them on those social media platforms, what is allowed is the attacks against them. What is not allowed is the evidence that they could show that they're on the right side of this particular issue, whatever it may be. Now, take that not just on vaccines and COVID. Take it on organic versus genetically modified foods. We have found the same thing. The moment you say anything against genetically modified foods, legions of bots and gaslighting efforts and character assassinations, especially from Wikipedia. No surprise there. So we're living in a rather dystopian society when it comes to our body politic, social media, and where we get our truths. And that's why our next guest is so important to today's program. He is Ryan Hartwig, H-E-R-T-W-I-G. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. He's one of the earlier whistleblowers to come forward to reveal Facebook operations to censor voices contrary to centrist, liberal, democratic narratives and the company's culture of systemic bias. His revelations were first made public by Project Veritas last year. Since then, he is the founder of the Hartwig Foundation for Free Speech and has recently published a book co-authored with Kent Heckenlively, Behind the Mask of Facebook, a whistleblower's shocking story of big tech bias and censorship, which recounts his time with the international digital solutions firm Cognizant, where he worked as a content moderator on behalf of Facebook to moderate and censor content on its social media. His efforts have led to a criminal referral to the Department of Justice for Mark Zuckerberg and aided an FEC complaint against Facebook in the John James versus Gary Peters U.S. Senate race in Michigan. Ryan holds a degree in Spanish linguistics from Arizona State University and continues his activism to keep the Internet free of censorship. His website is ryanhartwig.org. Nice to have you with us today, Ryan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Ryan, perhaps it would be a good place to start if you were then giving us a summary of your employment with the firm Cognizant, which was subcontracted to provide services for monitoring and moderating content on Facebook with the sole purpose of censoring certain content and to promote and advance other content. And I'm curious about what kind of company Cognizant is, although mm-hmm. Facebook was one of its clients. Which was the project you worked on? I'm interested in that. And was the company also engaged in similar content monitoring for other firms or organizations or perhaps government contracts as well? And I ask you this for a simple reason. Because virtually everything that we're finding out is either misleading, wrong without intent, or out and out wrong with intent, with malice aforethought, in fact, on Google and Facebook, and by extension, YouTube, is because the person that they brought in to fact check is Dr. Peter Daszak, who received hundreds of millions of dollars in defense contracts, National Institutes of Health, National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease, very close associate of Anthony Fauci. He was the one who then funded the research at the University of North Carolina on gain-of-function research and Wuhan Viral Lab on gain-of-function research. He even bragged about it. So mind you, just think of this for a moment. Of all the really good, brilliant men and women and people in this country who could objectively, without bias, look for the truth in any important statement, try to discern, is this accurate or not? We have thousands of such people. Instead, they choose the one person guaranteed that if there's any criticism of Fauci, his organization, Wuhan, that it was lab-created, or vaccines not being safe and effective, he would be the one who says, no, this is fake news, and hence, it's off. So that cannot be by accident. Now, take it from there, please.
Yeah, so I did work as a content moderator or content censor for Cognizant, and Cognizant is a very large company. I think they're a Fortune 200 company. They have over 100,000 employees in India, but their focus has never been content moderation. It's always been like IT solutions. So they're kind of a competitor to Cisco. They provide IT infrastructure for very large companies in the healthcare industry and banking. So this was out of their wheelhouse. This was not something they normally do. But in 2017, they got this project. So in 2016, basically, Trump won the election. And as a result, Facebook said, hey, we're going to move a lot of our content moderation to the U.S. to have more people with eyes on the election. Because they were claiming that there was Russian interference in the 2016 election. So Cognizant got this 3-year, $200 million contract starting in 2017 to do content moderation. And so I started working there in March of 2018. And I got hired as a bilingual content moderator for the Spanish queue for Latin America. So I just got kind of thrown into it, but basically you see the most shocking images on the internet one at a time. Like it could be pornography. It could be, child pornography. It could be cartel violence, beheadings. I saw a lot of cartel, violence, people being slaughtered. And so I have to take action on that video and delete it off the platform. And so we saw animal abuse. We saw political posts. So I was watching the 2018 presidential election as it was happening there in Mexico. So that was just the job. So I was there for just under 2 years. So I was there through February of 2020. And then Cognizant ended that contract prematurely with Facebook. So I don't think Cognizant is like an evil company, but we didn't do fact checking at that site. We reviewed posts, comments, pages, groups for Facebook and Instagram. We had like a separate hate speech queue. The fact-checking companies were a separate company. But yeah, what first kind of caught my attention is I did been there for, well, I started in March of 2018. And oddly enough, the next month, Mark Zuckerberg testified in April of 2018, testified to Congress that they don't censor political speech. And as time went on, I noticed that they actually do censor political speech. But that first summer of 2018, there was a viral video of a Trump supporter being attacked, and Facebook said to delete that. And that video showed sympathy for Trump supporters. But my overall, like, I guess let me just say this before we go into it more in detail. My overall conclusion and what I found and the evidence I have that's in my book, Behind the Mask of Facebook, is that Facebook does censor, they were censoring and targeting people with a certain political views. And it just happened to be people on the right. So my main message is this could happen to any political group. Like the tables could be turned and maybe later the people in charge of Facebook could be right-leaning and they'd be censoring people on the left. So it's dangerous to have so much power concentrated in one's company. And they're clearly picking sides politically and censoring political speech. So that was my main takeaway. But yeah, that first summer I was there, I noticed that they deleted a viral video of a Trump supporter. There was no reason to delete it. And then also that first summer, I noticed they gave an exception to their hate speech policy. So you want to believe that Facebook protects all races, creeds, sexual orientations. But they said it's okay to attack straight white males as filth for not supporting LGBT rights. And then there was a separate occasion where there was a straight pride march, I think in the Northeast somewhere, Maine or Massachusetts. And Facebook said to look for hate speech coming from the straight pride march. So, yeah, I mean, I personally support all these sexual orientations, and that's great. But if Facebook's going to carve out exceptions for their policies, that's where I kind of have an issue. And the other big one, another big example, and I have more than 40 examples of this, and we can definitely talk about vaccines as well, but you know, whether it's abortion, allowing more attacks against cops, it basically all their policies mirrored kind of the leftist, the mainstream media slant, kind of like this SJW like slant. So, and then they also haven't given an exception for child nudity. So like the one thing that Facebook should be doing, right, is like, okay, delete the child porn, delete the, like the cartel videos, like really horrible stuff. They allowed it. They said that, they gave an exception for child nudity. So in Brazil, there was this children's band that had naked children on the cover, and Facebook gave a newsworthy exception because of the artistic nature of the child pornography. So, I mean, going back to Section 230 and the Communications Decency Act from 1996, the one thing that they should be good at doing and be able to do as their primary responsibility is deleting child pornography, not making exceptions for it. And then immigration as well. I mean, if they're allowing, they have a part of their foreign policy that allows people to volunteer to be smuggled. So I can literally say on Facebook, I want to be smuggled, and they would allow that. So a lot of them are political examples, but it really just goes to show how focused they are on the political discourse in the U.S. I personally raised up many examples to Facebook. They wanted urgent visibility into the Democrat debates, any political trends. So there's really no reason for that. They do it under the guise of hate speech. But yeah, those are a few examples to begin with of kind of what I uncovered. Like you mentioned, I went public last summer, June of 2020. And I spent 8 months writing this book. And I just feel like it's hard evidence. And anybody who believes in a free internet and decentralized control of the internet should read this book.
Okay, let's go through this. What are some of the consequences of you speaking out as a whistleblower? Who has come to your aid and who has attacked you for being a whistleblower?
Yeah, so some of my coworkers, because I filmed surreptitiously some of my coworkers, and when I first went public, many of them attacked me and were upset with me. One of my coworkers was openly talking about like assassinating Donald Trump, and so I filmed that. She was supporting the bounty from Iran, the $100 million bounty, and so our $80 million bounty. So there was some negative, you know, pushback from my coworkers. In the last like 6-15 months, I've done about 170 interviews. So a lot of it's, I've done some like mainstream interviews on the right, like with Newsmax, OAN, somewhat. There's been some people on the right that have shunned me as well, like some mainstream people. So I've never been interviewed by like Charlie Kirk or some of these figures on the right. I wasn't on Fox. And I've just been largely ignored by the mainstream left, obviously. So a month ago, the Wall Street Journal came out with this new novel series of articles about Facebook, the Facebook files. And they mentioned the anonymous whistleblower who you know now is Frances Haugen. This article from a month ago is talking about the X-check policy. So Facebook had a VIP whitelist where even if someone famous posted something that should violate the policies, their account would never get deleted. So the famous example is Neymar Jr., who was a football player who posted essentially revenge porn, and his account didn't get deleted. Did not get deleted. So in my book, Behind the Mask of Facebook, I talk about that. I talk about the X-check policy. So almost a year before their article came out, I was talking about it on the Tim Pool show. So yeah, I think it's not really attacks from the left as much. It's just flat out ignoring any of my claims, mainly because of my affiliation with Project Veritas. But the evidence speaks for itself. Like, it's hard evidence. And Jeff Horwitz with the Wall Street Journal should have, you know, at least made mention of some of my discoveries, which actually support some of my evidence supports what these other whistleblowers are trying to do, or what people on the left want to do to, you know, protect children or teenagers on the internet, which is a valid point, but they refuse to use any of my evidence just because of my affiliation with Project Veritas. Those are some of the attacks I've received, mainly just being blatantly ignored, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Could you imagine you've just had a heart attack or a stroke, and you have minutes to get to the emergency room, or you die? And as you go in, you stop and say, "What's your political affiliation, doctor? What's your religious affiliation? Are you atheist? Are you a believer? Which religion?" Doctor says, "I'm here to help you not die." "No, I'd rather die than be on the political incorrect side of dealing with someone." The absurdity of the idea that everything has become so polarized between them and us, whoever them is, whoever us is, that we're not looking for the truth anymore. We're looking for the ability to shame people. We're looking for the ability to criticize people with the evidence, no matter what it is, no matter how detailed and truthful your analysis is, it will never be judged in and of itself. The context of what you're saying is less relevant than your particular alignments and what you support and what you don't. And I think this is just terrible. If we have corruption, then it doesn't matter who is corrupt. They should be held accountable. And then you look at Julian Assange. He's held accountable for exposing corruption. And Chelsea Manning, she's held accountable for exposing corruption. And Drake, he's held accountable. And all the others, all the truth tellers who found corruption, the left has abandoned them, attacked them, supported those who want to see them spend the rest of their life in prison. For what? For exposing institutional corruption. Ah, but which institutions? And what are their affiliates? Do you see this? This is a rabbit hole. When you go down it, you're going to go, it's like a circular firing squad. It makes no sense. Now, if you could just tell us the following. You mentioned one person. Who else do you have documentation, solid documentation, was protected because of their social or political or economic status?
Yeah, so there's three main people that I make mention of in my book that were protected by Facebook. So the one person is Alyssa Milano, and she's an very outspoken pro-choice advocate. And whether you agree with that or not, or, you know, either pro-choice or pro-life, she was talking about the Alabama abortion bill a couple years ago. And she said on Instagram, she said the following phrase: "Men should not be allowed to make rules about women's bodies." All right, and whether you agree with that or not, that phrase actually violates Facebook's hate speech policy, because you're excluding all men from a political process of making rules or laws about women's bodies. And so Facebook acknowledged, they told us as content moderators, "Hey, we know this violates Facebook's our own policy. We're making a newsworthy exception to allow this." So I never saw them make a single exception for someone on the right, a newsworthy exception like that. They also did the same thing for Don Lemon. So on air, Don Lemon from CNN said white males, pretty much all he said, all white males are terror threats. And Facebook said, "Hey, look, we know what Don Lemon said violates our hate speech policy. Once again, we're making a newsworthy exception to allow him saying that." And then Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg was, people are calling her retarded. Okay. She's in the public sphere. She was a minor.
But hold on one second. Yeah, I don't care what people are calling her. She's not retarded.
Right.
She is, the information she shares is actually accurate. But as my own investigation showed, she's been played and manipulated by people, powerful forces behind her. But no one wanted to look at that particular story. But do not accept that she is retarded. And if people say, those people in say, show me the mental health report, show me the psychiatric evaluation where she is retarded, that is hate speech. That's, once again, using a person's own political bias to judge someone. We have the same thing when people want to be healthy and take their vitamins. Oh, you're a health nut.
Okay? Right.
What does it mean to be a health nut? Because I want to be conscious about what goes into my body? Oh, you're an anti-vaxxer. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean? Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go into this because this is going to play into what my next question is about what do they censor when it comes to vaccines. Now, I'm pro-vaccine. I never tell someone, even my own family members, and all my family members have been vaccinated with COVID-19, right? Yeah. They didn't call and say, Gary, what do you think? Because in my family, nobody ever calls me and asks me, what do I think? They always call me and tell me what I should think. And it's frustrating. I love them in spite of it. And I listen to them. I don't argue with them. I learned that as a kid. But if I simply pose the question, let's just see something. Let's stay neutral. Keep politics, your agenda out of it. Let's just look at this. Should we ask all adults to get vaccinated? Yesterday, a person sent Linda Perry, the program director of our sister station, WBAI, an email. And it said, when Gary Knoll says that every adult should be vaccinated, then I'll trust him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Right now, listen, everyone. Every adult in America, with no exception, according to make our listener feel good about themselves, should be vaccinated. All right. Right now. You heard me say it. Okay. Oh. Wow. I forgot something. What about all the people with organ transplants that may cause a rejection factor or hyperdiligent immune system that could kill them? Ah, dumb me. I forgot. What about all the people with autoimmune conditions that were never tested in the original vaccine trials? They were intentionally excluded. How about all people with cancer, heart disease, diabetes, morbidly obese, dementia, and any other mental condition? They were also excluded, but now it's deemed they must take it. But if they must take it, all adults, then why didn't you have them in the study? If you don't have a fear that there would be an adverse reaction to these very sick people, then they should have been in the study. And that way you had at least an honest study. But they were all excluded until it was approved. And then now you must take it. So what about the people, and it's already been shown in the scientific literature, that they were already infected? Now, some people, a lot in this audience, have let me know that they have been infected. And they are feeling great now. They took natural protocols. They took some medical protocols. Thank goodness. They realized what you could do to help yourself and get in touch with some of the medical doctors who are using from the get-go. The first minute that you have symptoms, they're working with you. Whether you need any one of 22 different FDA-approved medications or vitamins, a plant-based diet, lose the weight, help the body, and especially the lungs. All that they did, and now they're immune to life. And guess what? 20 separate studies show that if you have natural immunity, you could have that the rest of your life, and you have up to 12 to 1600% greater likelihood of not having the same severity if reinfected, because you got the whole virus monitored by your own natural killer cells, etc., where a vaccine doesn't give you that. So you want all those people to be vaccinated, all those adults. Okay. If you've been naturally infected, you better go, according to this listener, and I'm sure that person's an expert and looked at the scientific, I'm sure they're a clinician to see people in their office each day and see which does best, the person vaccinated and then getting vaccinated again and then getting vaccinated again and booster shot, or the person. I'm sure they have that detailed background. I'm sure of it, or they wouldn't be as arrogant as to call or to write and say, every adult should be vaccinated. So is there a study in existence that proves that a vaccine on top of already having COVID and having natural immunity is safe? There's no such study. Is there any evidence that it could compound the problem by actually causing a hyperimmune response? Yes, a lot of it. So what about all the people with arthritis and autoimmune diseases? That's 130.5 million American adults. And they could have a terrible reaction to a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's no one died of the vaccine. Not a single person been injured. Not even had a two-day temperature. That's what we're led to believe by the fanatics. The people who are the true believers. These are cult-like mindsets we're dealing with. There's absolutism. This everything is black and white. Yes and no. You're with us or you're against us. The Bill O'Reilly phenomena. So, do you see what happens when you're in the general population and you're arguing about issues that you know nothing about at the scientific or public health level, but you're absolutely certain, and is anyone in Facebook or anyone in Google or anyone in Wikipedia, any of these people have the kind of expertise, the frontline expertise dealing with the patients? Anthony Fauci doesn't treat patients, but the doctors who do and see what works, they're the ones who are now challenging this particular vaccine, even though they've had all other vaccines. Their family have had all other vaccines, but here they're saying, hold on, this is not like any other vaccine. We have no background on this. It's going to take 3 to 5 years minimally till we know whether or not this is actually safe and works. So why don't we exercise the precautionary principle, first do no harm. So I think any reasonable and responsible person would say we shouldn't take anything into our body unless we first have a reasonable expectation of a positive, safe outcome, and that it's been proven by those who are administering it, manufacturing or marketing it, that they're taking our health into account first, not their bottom line profit. With that in mind, what is your experience with Facebook when it comes to vaccines?
Yeah, Gary. So Facebook does take a stance on vaccines, and you can probably guess what it is. So I'm looking on my computer here at a screenshot of when I filmed with a hidden camera. So I filmed with a hidden camera at Facebook for 9 months total. And so I recorded this on September 12th of 2019. So this is before the whole COVID thing, but this is mainly dealing with like baby vaccines. So I'm looking at this screen of my screen, and there's a training deck that Facebook provided to me. And it's talking about violating claims. It says the following claims are considered misinformation. We do not allow these statements on Facebook, and they should be marked as violating. And by the way, this part of it, this screenshot, didn't make it into my book because I lost the screenshot for a while. So it's not in the book Behind the Mask of Facebook. But yeah, so this is from Facebook. So they're saying we do not allow these statements on Facebook, and they should be marked as violating. So the phrase vaccines are comprised of harmful chemicals / unsafe toxins, that's considered misinformation. We delete that. If I say natural immunity is safer than vaccine-acquired immunity, i.e. for diseases which we have vaccinations, it's safer for children to build immunity by becoming infected with the disease than by getting vaccinated. That phrase, word for word, is considered misinformation. We delete it. It's violating. Or if I say vaccines are not effective in preventing the disease against which they purport to protect, Facebook says that's misinformation. Delete it. If I talk about spacing out the vaccines over additional years, if I say it is unsafe to follow the medically recommended vaccine schedule for children and better to space out vaccines over additional years, Facebook says delete that. It's Facebook's stance. This is something that goes back quite a few years. So we shouldn't be surprised with their current stance now with the COVID vaccine, where they're basically following the company line and supporting these pharmaceutical giants, in making more profits. So even something saying like, hey, vaccines have harmful chemicals in them, Facebook says that's not true. So is Facebook a pharmaceutical company? No. Are they medical experts? No, they're not. So this is something, that they clearly take a stance on. It's kind of shocking. So the fact that, going back to kind of my premise, the fact that you have Facebook is a company as large and as influential as they are, and they have a duopoly, like monopoly, but a duopoly with Google, that can control the flow of information on the internet. So that's why it's so dangerous to give them even more control and the Frances Haugen, the supposed Facebook whistleblower, came out last week. She's arguing that we should, that they're not doing enough to censor content. And so the more power we give them, the more power that they'll have to work in lockstep with the pharmaceutical companies to censor content. I have another example as well, another screenshot here about the polio. So this is from May 26th of 2019, and a coworker posted this, and it says, and this is from Facebook, it says, claims that the anti-polio campaign is a CIA Zionist Indian conspiracy to infect children with compromised polio vaccine. And they told us to delete claims like that. So it also says, Facebook has signed off on an exception to delete at scale content suggesting the following. Claims of the anti-polio campaign is a CIA / Zionist / Indian conspiracy to infect children with compromised polio vaccine. So those are instructions from Facebook, you know, very specific regarding certain claims that are floating around on the internet. Facebook isn't, I mean, misinformation. What part of Section 230? So Congress delegated certain authorities to Facebook. Under Section 230 of the law from 1996, where they can restrict certain types of content, lewd content. But where did Congress say that they could censor, you know, misinformation? Who defines misinformation? So that's the danger there, is you have this small group of people in San Francisco who have certain political leanings or a certain group think. It's kind of a bubble where they all have the same viewpoint. And this happens on the right, too. There's people on the right who are not open-minded at all. But yeah, you have this small group of people determining medical advice for literally billions of people. So as a society, as humans, humanity should be concerned about this. The fact that Facebook's attempting to hijack the internet, right? You could argue they already have. They've successfully hijacked the internet, and any bad thing is censored, and you can't talk about harmful chemicals or vaccines only in a certain way. So it's clearly not something that is healthy for people, and people should be able to debate and discuss vaccines, and they can't. They simply can't on Facebook. Facebook does not allow it.
Who's behind this?
That's a good question. So people have asked me that a lot of times. I mean, so Facebook obviously has a lot of influence from the left, and they're in San Francisco. But is there someone behind them controlling, you know, pulling the strings? Is Zuckerberg himself very left-leaning? I mean, a lot of it has to do with the profits. You know, maybe someone came along at some point and said, hey, Zuckerberg, I love your company, Facebook. If you want to make a lot of money, just do what do what we tell you. It's not a coincidence that all the big tech companies basically act on the same way, in similar ways, and coordinate their policies. So like the same, they all deleted InfoWars and Alex Jones the same day, and it was literally an emergency update. I have a face screenshot of that, them calling an emergency. So they're clearly silencing political dissidents and labeling people as extremists and pushing a certain agenda. I don't know exactly who's behind them, but honestly, all the policies lean towards more of like a globalist type agenda. And if you think about it, Facebook's the perfect mechanism or vehicle to kind of implement kind of a globalist control or global government, because they're already in pretty much every country in the world. And I personally saw that Facebook has election training decks for most countries in the world. So whether it's Taiwan or Hungary or Spain or Venezuela. So that's the other aspect of this. It's frightening, is how much control they have over the elections. Oh, I was personally enforcing U.S. election law and deleting certain content. Like if someone tells you to vote on the wrong day, we would delete that. But it does point to some kind of global cabal, you know, that's pulling the strings, just because there's so much coordination and similar actions happening from other large companies, Twitter, Google, Pinterest. So it is,
Ryan,
kind of, yeah.
When you look at some of the truth tellers in our society, I'll just mention a few, for example. You look at Chris Hedges, Abby Martin, Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, Max Blumenthal, and the Gray Zone people. You're looking at people who once were the darlings of liberal media. Every night you could find one of them on Keith Olbermann or one of the other programs. Today, and for the last 4 years, they've been banned and attacked. Also, you used to be able to find their work by going to one of the social media platforms. Now you can't. They're banned there as well. But they're all pillared on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is directly influenced by Google. Google now sends all of its people that want information over to Wikipedia. I've written 74 articles deconstructing the myth that Wikipedia is anything but a very biased publication that has an agenda to attack people that they have a different point of view on. And yet not a single mainstream organization has stepped back and say, who's been honest? Let's just turn around and take a look over the last 20 years. All right? Who's been honest about the weapons of mass destruction? Who was honest about the Hugo Chavez being some terrorist and megalomaniac running Venezuela? What was the truth on Venezuela? Did Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, did they do the right thing when they had a coup that they sponsored through the CIA in Honduras and sanctions against Venezuela? And were they right when it came to invading Libya or Syria and funding the terrorist groups in Syria with weapons taken from Libya? And that's why Ambassador Stevens and three other Americans were killed that night. Were they responsible for the neo-fascist regime that now occupies the Ukraine? The media will never touch any of these issues at all. These people do. They take it on. Paul Craig Roberts, he will take it on. Not ever do you hear these people talking about their religion or their body politic. They simply take a topic. They do their homework. They are not going in pre-biased, and they share information. We can take it or leave it. But all of the media, Facebook and all of them, they won't touch any of this stuff. They'll say it's unproven or fake, and they put all their stuff right up there along with Alex Jones, for example.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. And yet, how do you see that working from the inside? Do you ever see really progressive-minded people who are not ideologues and not pushing a political or social agenda, do you ever see them being given any support on any of these social medias? Instead, they are attacked, and their attackers are allowed to do the attacking. That's like putting someone, tying them to a pole, putting a blindfold on, and then say, hey, fella, you got any anger issues today? I got a lot of anger issues. Well, why don't you just go over there and beat the hell out of that guy who's on the pole? He can't fight back, because we are the pole. We are the rope. We are the shackles, and we're giving you permission. Until you've been vilified on Wikipedia and with no opportunity, none, to respond. You can't change anything. It's an internet gulag, much like Stalin's show trials, pretending to be something it's not. So, tell us your experience about where the truth tellers are. When we look at history, the people in the woke generation have been wrong. The people in the identity politics have been wrong. The people who are supporting the current regime and other regimes like him have been wrong. No one ever apologized. No one ever says, you know, I was wrong about that. Maybe I had to look more objectively for the truth instead of always looking politically of where I can say yes or no.
Yeah, it's definitely, the internet's becoming, if you're on the internet or on these large websites, it's so easy for the establishment media or these forces to blackball someone and blacklist them. So, as far as truth tellers go, and you mentioned like Honduras and these actions taken in Latin America, and my wife's actually from Honduras, and I lived in Mexico City for a couple of years, and of course at Facebook I moderated content for Latin America, so I saw how Facebook can influence in countries' sovereignty. But yeah, you mentioned some of the truth tellers like Glenn Greenwald, and there's other people on the Facebook has lists of people, so they have what's called a hate figure list. So there's people on that list, like, so they added Louis Farrakhan to that list. People are on there like Tommy Robinson, Gavin McInnes, the co-founder of Vice and founder of the Proud Boys. So if you don't agree with Tommy Robinson's view on immigration and Islam, that's fine. Immigration, Islamic immigration to Europe. Okay. That's a different topic, you know, or if you don't agree with Louis Farrakhan, that's fine. But when they're on this hate figure list, so now that Louis Farrakhan's on this hate figure list, there's another policy called violence and incitement. Now, normally I can't call for violence against anyone. I can't say, hey, let's go, you know, let's go beat up Gary Knoll. I can't call for violence or high severity. So if I say, hey, someone needs to kill, you know, this influential person, of course, Facebook's going to delete that. But now that you're on that hate figure list, if like Louis Farrakhan or Tommy Robinson or Gavin McInnes, you're excluded from that, those protections. So now anybody on Facebook or Instagram can literally say, let's go chop off, you know, Louis Farrakhan's head. Well, let's go chop off and insert the name of the person on the hate figure list. And they're no longer protected under that. So Facebook allows incitement of violence against people just because Facebook put them on a list. Of supposed hate, you know, of hate figures. Some of them may be legitimate hate figures. Some of them, maybe less so. But who decides who's on that list? Well, Facebook does. Well, who at Facebook? Well, some people in San Francisco. So, that's the type of thing that kind of I've seen personally where it kind of goes along with the whole being, you know, being blackballed, being targeted, and truth tellers being targeted. So, that's dangerous. The fact that Facebook can allow specific violence or calls for violence against specific people that are on their list. That's objectionable. And yeah, those are a few examples I have of that.
Okay. Here's another area. And that is what happens when those in the big pharma want to promote a drug or a therapy. And suddenly doctors or scientists align with them without stating they're getting money will have no trouble sharing their information on Facebook or Google or Twitter. But then if you're a person who has an outstanding reputation and you find that there are flaws in whatever medical product being advocated, you're now banned, you're not allowed on, and you're actually considered no better than a domestic terrorist. You're considered a dangerous person. And that then would fall under, it could fall under what you just suggested, that others can now attack you with any comments they want because they now have free rein to go out there and wail on someone, and the person being wailed on has no recourse. A good example of that is a professor in Canada who's been there for 40 years, I believe, who has a professor of medicine, well, the highest types of teaching in a university, because you have to know all of medicine in order to be a professor of medicine. And he's published many peer-reviewed studies. But when he started to look at what happens inside the body to this specific spike protein, he became very concerned. He found that, you know, that we should have exercised greater caution before we just opened it up to the whole wide world. Yeah. Well, first, there was a whole campaign on social media to have him fired. They got a group of his fellow professors to attack him. And though he's tenured, others, including a professor, the top epidemiologist at Yale, top epidemiologist at Stanford University, a top professor of epidemiology at Harvard, another epidemiologist at Oxford University, all were attacked. And they started by using social media, these very platforms you're talking about that you worked at with, to attack these people who are orthodox in every sense. The mm-hmm. only thing was they took issue with some of the things that were being done, like the lockdowns. They said that that was not lessening death or infection. And they were right. Mm-hmm. The studies now show they were on the right side. But there is where you have, in effect, a mob, a craven mob, going after people who actually have the truth and are trying to warn people. And that mob is just like a group of zombies coming at you. They don't care. And this is what I see. And the owners, the controllers of Facebook and Twitter and these other accounts, they seem to allow anything that aligns with their own political, ideological philosophy to be acceptable, and anything other is to be attacked. Is that correct or incorrect from your experience?
Yeah, no, that's completely correct. You mentioned people not being, being welled on, being attacked, not being able to defend yourself. So, like I said, Facebook has lists. I know I'm familiar with the Hate Figure list. I'm sure they have other lists of individuals. And the only person people have these shields, these protections. And we mentioned the X-check protection. So even if someone says something violating and they're on Facebook's good list, their VIP list, then none of their content's going to get deleted. And the only person I saw that had, did not have any of those shields was Dinesh D'Souza, who publicly spoke out about Obama and published a documentary and was politically targeted, targeted with criminal charges. But I just give that an example because he was not giving shield protections, yet I have a specific example of someone who's a sex worker on Instagram being given those shield protections. But no, you are correct. These, whether it's vaccines or politics, Facebook has become a weaponized tool to shield people with certain, beliefs or medical beliefs and allow an insane amount of attacks against people who are not in line with the mainstream medical, I wouldn't even say mainstream. I don't like using that word mainstream, but with the cabal of medical,
Let me give you a very clear example of this today. This just came in just 2 minutes ago. I'll read it. It's absolutely aligns with what we're discussing. This is from Boise State Public Radio, Health Druzin. It's quote, Idaho Medical Association files complaint against controversial doctor. Quote, a major Idaho doctor association has filed a complaint against a Treasury Valley physician who has repeated misinformation about COVID-19 vaccines. The Idaho Medical Association filed a complaint against Dr. Ryan Cole over his claim that he's prescribed ivermectin for COVID-19 patients. Ivermectin has not been proven to be effectively to treat COVID-19, and doctors say it can be harmful. Idaho Medical Association CEO Susie Keller says, while the association is disturbed by Cole's spreading of misinformation, including dissuading people from getting the COVID vaccine, the complaint is narrowly focused on the claim Cole prescribed an unproven drug. Quote, I believe that he has violated sections of the Idaho Medical Practice Act by providing care that fails to meet the community standard of care, by promoting the sale of drugs that are not medically indicated, and by engaging in conduct that constitutes an abusive or exploitation of a patient arising out of the trust and competence placed by the physician, end quote. Now, here's what I know and can say unequivocally. They are wrong on every level. First and foremost, if you go to GaryNall.com and scroll down to articles on COVID, you will see in the last month an article that was written with Richard Gale and myself that lists over 160 articles on ivermectin and over 225 on hydroxychloroquine. 80% of them are published in the Library of Medicine's peer review system, PubMed. That's the highest standard that you can meet to show the legitimacy and the scientific rigor of safety and efficacy of any product. And those are up there. And all told, there were over 33,000 patients, over 3,000 scientists participated in these dozens and dozens of studies, hundreds of studies, showing efficacy. So they're wrong on the fact that it's unproven. It's been given to almost 4 billion people. It is safer than an aspirin, and taken early, it can stop COVID symptoms generally within 24 to 48 hours, depending upon a person's, if they are healthy or have other comorbidities. And taken with hydroxychloroquine and other drugs or nutrients, it's phenomenal. In fact, a whole group of physicians called frontline physicians, these are mainstream board-certified pro-vaccine people. No, they're not alternative. They have joined together, and they all signed what was called the Great Barrington Declaration. Almost 70,000 medical doctors and scientists have signed that, including multiple Nobel Prize winners. There have been thousands of articles published on this very topic of the safety and efficacy of the vaccines. And yet mainstream media would not think that would allow you to know that there have been any real side effects or deaths. And yet, as of last night on this program, Dr. Rose, who is she has a background in molecular biology and immunology, and she's published a lot of peer-reviewed journals. And she said that right now we have over 203,000 dead Americans from the vaccine. She had two co-authors on this article, and over 1 million injured, and almost half of those serious injuries, life-challenging injuries. Not a single mention of this anywhere in social media. In fact, they will delete that. So they're wrong. But who are these medical associations? They're in all 50 states. They're controlled by the American Medical Association. How do I know? Because I was the one who fought and won against the AMA. That's not easy to do. And the 12 major medical organizations in the United States. Until I wrote my articles back in the early 1970s, with documents that came, like yourself, as a whistleblower, mine came from an anonymous whistleblower working in the basement of the AMA headquarters. And he sent me, or she sent me, whoever it was, sent me documents proving that the AMA had a secret department of investigations. And in this secret department of investigations, they intentionally targeted any competing medical or health protocols, meaning chiropractors, naturopaths, homeopaths, holistic doctors, anyone doing anything like that. They were targeted as being, quote, unscientific cults. In fact, it was in the official documents of the AMA that no medical doctor in America could receive a patient from a chiropractor or refer a patient to a chiropractor. Chiropractors were not allowed to use public hospitals, even though they were public hospitals. If you were a chiropractor, you couldn't get a patient to get x-rays in a public hospital. So this went on for 25 years, and chiropractic was on the ropes. They were dead. In another 5 years, they'd have been gone. Nobody would practice chiropractic because you couldn't get insurance coverage of any kind. Person had to pay cash, and a lot of Americans just didn't have that money. In any case, after the articles were published, we got over 1 million documents in discovery. And a lawyer out of Chicago, prominent lawyer, his brother was a chiropractor. So five chiropractors officially sued the AMA and the 12 major medical organizations using my initial articles myself. So anyhow, at the end of this long process, the AMA was found to be guilty of restraint of trade and violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. And for the first time in American history, they could no longer condemn chiropractors as belonging to an unscientific cult with no scientific basis. They had to, it saved the whole profession of chiropractic. And who was the one attacking at the state level? The state medical boards. Who attacked every holistic doctor? State medical boards. So I give no credibility to anything that the Idaho Medical Association has to say about a doctor who is telling the truth, Dr. Cole, and we're going to see more of it. We're out of time, unfortunately, Ryan, but I really appreciate you coming on and sharing these insights.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dr. Knoll, and it's a pleasure to be here and to talk about my book, Behind the Mask of Facebook, and it just shows how much control Facebook has over public discourse.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you die.